Good morning. It is good to be with you all here today as we've come to worship our Lord and God together. As he said, I appreciate you all. I am an intern, and this is actually my first ever sermon, and so please bear with me as there are any bumps along the way, any cadence issues, anything that I stumble upon, please bear with me and forgive me ahead of time, because I do appreciate your grace in this matter. I'm turning 35 here in a month, and so this is a new endeavor for me. I grew up in the church, my dad was the pastor, and I had no desire to go into ministry. I saw that life, it was not for me. Instead, I went to the Navy and was in special operations for 10 years. It's where I met my wife, and we now have 5 children. Two of them we acquired through foster care. And this has been a major part in our own transformation. And then last week, I was visiting my parents' church, and there was a guest speaker in talking about his church plant. And while we were listening to him, I had this voice in my head that said, "You need to go do this in Front Royal." At which point, I was like, "Lord, I know I'm an impulsive individual. If this is from you, have my wife bring it up to me." And then there we were in the parking lot, about an hour later, driving away. My wife turns to me and says, "Hey, we need to go do that in Front Royal." And since then, we've been working towards that, and it is truly a honor to be here with you 1 year later, starting out with my first sermon. So if you would, please pray with me before we get started. Father, thank you for the opportunities and gifts that you've given us, and that we can gather here freely to worship you. Lord, please bless the words that I use today, that your word would be proclaimed in spite of anything that I do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you would please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, where we will read our passage for the day. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened 3 times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, 3 men arrived at the house which we were, sent to me from Sisera. And the Spirit told me to go with him, making no distinction. These 6 brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Before we dive fully into this, I want to do a brief summary of how the Holy Spirit has been acting throughout the book of Acts. You all have been working your way through this, so you are pretty familiar with it. But the Holy Spirit comes to the apostles at Pentecost. Signs and wonders are done, and many believe. Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is out preaching. The gospel is going out. He is martyred, and in spite of this, the gospel continues to grow. Paul begins to persecute the church while before he is saved. It is becoming more dangerous. And again, the gospel is growing in spite of what we would expect to see from these actions. Simon the magician believes, but wants the Holy Spirit and tries to buy him, and he is denied. The Ethiopian eunuch believes and is baptized. Paul gets converted. Peter sees the vision in the previous chapter of the unclean animals coming down. He goes to Cornelius, who then hears the gospel preached and believes. And throughout all this, we can see how the Holy Spirit has been working, not in ways that we would expect them to, but according to God's own plan. And so, as all of this has happened, the word gets out quickly that Cornelius and the Gentiles, that the gospel has gone to them. And you all know that whenever anything happens that is on that level, the word travels fast, goes out quickly. You can barely keep bad rumors from keep staying in. So it is no surprise that this beats Peter getting to Jerusalem. And when he arrives there, the circumcision party criticizes him. They are saying that he is now unclean, that he has gone to the Gentiles. And we know that it was unlawful for Peter to be with, associating with men of other nations. He explains this himself in the previous chapter. And so before we come down too harshly on the circumcision party here, we need to recognize that we ourselves do this all the time, whether we recognize it or not. Similar to how Jesus ate with tax collectors, we could easily point to the circumcision party and say, you're acting just like the Pharisees. But again, Peter takes a different approach on this, and he's very gentle with them. But how we do this in our own life is not always the way that we would expect. And as I'm preaching this, I'm preaching it to myself in it, where we have this election cycle coming up right now. And just because people disagree with me politically does not mean they are in any way, shape, or form less deserving of the gospel or the good news that has come. They might be right. They might be wrong. It does not matter, because Christ needs to be preached and brought to the people I disagree with just as much as the people I agree with. But even in this, we often do this with inside the church as well. Sometimes we can get on our own high horse of, my church is the best. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, so every once in a while you're sitting there thinking that my theology is great. But that is not how this goes, and we easily fall into that party with this, and can forget that Ephesians tells us there is but one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And the gospel goes out in spite of what we think. A prime example of this is I have a pastor friend, his name's Brian, and he's a Pentecostal. And you know, I disagree with Brian on many things theologically, some things fundamentally on, and he does some odd things in his church, but he loves Jesus. And he preaches the word, and people are being saved in his church. And so who am I to stand in the way of how God chooses to reach out and save other people? It's not always that our vision for how we for how the gospel would go out, but God's vision, and we need to remember to get in line with what he wants, not what we want. And Peter does an excellent job of this. And as he begins, he's very, very gentle and patient with his brothers. He doesn't treat them like they don't believe. He treats them as fellow believers. They are his accusers, and he stands there and goes, all right, I'll explain it to you from the beginning so you can see what it is that I learned as well. And it is a model for how we should deal with our brothers who may not be quite as far along in the faith as we are. Might mean that they just need a little more understanding. So we need to be able to be patient with those who are not as far along as we are. But also be willing to listen, because it's quite possible it could be you on the other side of this, standing there thinking that you have it right. And then someone else explains it to you and you realize that you didn't have it right this whole time. And so Peter takes this and he explains to them, he tells them how the Spirit comes to him and the sheet comes down. And you guys just went over this last week. Peter's first reaction is to refuse. Very similar to what the circumcision party is doing here. And God declares, what has been made clean, do not call common. Peter has to be doing this with a certain level of humility. Because as he explains it, that it happened three times, we see that this is a pattern for Peter where he denies Christ three times. He also is told to watch over the sheep and asked if he loves him three times. And here again, we see three times again. And I can't imagine he's not thinking about that as this happens. But even in that, he is explaining it to them that he had this said from God three times. And then the people, the messengers arrive, and the Spirit's instruction is to go, and they leave in faith. And this is a small note in here, but the six brothers go with him. And so it's not just Peter saying, this is what happened. It's Peter and these witnesses. And it adds credibility to what is being said. And then he talks about Cornelius's testimony, how the angel appears and promises salvation to him and his whole household. Cornelius acts in faith and sends him. And Peter arrives. And once he is there, he preaches the gospel. And the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. And the Spirit is poured out, and they begin speaking in tongues, and they began to experience it just like they had at Pentecost. And a note here that adds a certain amount of validity to God's choosing in this is when we see the Spirit coming upon people, most of the time we see it with the laying on of hands. But at Pentecost we don't, and here we do not either. And it is adding validity to it in that God himself chooses the Gentiles to come into the fold of Christ. And they remember the words that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. In this showing that they have now been baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Gentiles are now clean. And so once again, who are we to stand in God's way? And I have a personal story on this one where I was in the wrong on this. My brother was a missionary in Turkey for several years. And before he went, I was questioning him, why would you go to Turkey? You don't speak Turkish. Are you running from something? There's no reason for you to be going to these people. Part of that might have been because of my military service and my own bitterness towards the people over there, which I have since repented of. And the other part is just a general questioning, but he believed that that is where he was supposed to go, and that's where the Spirit was leading him, so he went. And the stories that came out of his mere 3 years over there are extraordinary. And one in particular, where they woke up one morning and decided they were going to go where the Spirit led them. And for an entire day, they are wandering around Turkey, going from various places with no success. And finally, they end up at a bus stop. They've missed the last bus. There's no lodging in the area. And they talk to an old man that they see there and ask him questions. They say, do you know if there's a place that we can stay? And he turns to them and says, absolutely. You're staying at my house. The car wasn't big enough to get them there, so they have to take two trips. They send the first group over, and my brother's in the second group. And as they go up as he arrives there in the second party, they get there, and the table's already set with food, and it's more than they could possibly eat. And they're asking questions. They were worried that they were going to be imposing upon this Turkish family. And it's very rude and impolite to turn down hospitality once it's been extended in Turkey. And they ask the party that got there first, did you guys pull this together? They're like, no, it was ready when we got here. And as they were speaking, they talked to the man's wife. And that night, or the night prior, she had had a dream that people from far away were going to come and bring them the good news. And so she sent her husband to that bus stop to wait for them. He said, when you find the people from far away, you bring them here. And they stayed up till the wee hours of the morning that night, and the gospel was proclaimed, and people came to faith. And so I say this story for two reasons. One, the Spirit is alive and well and going out and still doing wondrous works as we are here today. But also to say that I was wrong for questioning whether or not my brother should follow what he believed the Holy Spirit it was leading him to do. And so again, who am I to stand in God's way of who he chooses and how he chooses to bring that salvation to them? It's not for me to say, it is for me to follow. And the response of the Jewish believers is right in line with all of this. They hear Peter's line of reasoning, and their first reaction is silence. Now, I don't know about all of you, but the times in my life where I've been wrong about something and someone explains it to me, sometimes you can become defensive, but other times you sit there and you're like, oh, that's it. And that's what happens here. They hear that the gospel has gone to the Gentiles, and instead of being defensive, they have the only right response, and they rejoice. We know that in heaven, the angels rejoice when a single soul is brought back to the Lord, and that is exactly how we should be here. And as we move into an application, that's the first one that I really want to point out, is when someone comes to faith, we should rejoice. What if I disagree with them politically? Doesn't matter. Rejoice. What if they were my enemy for the last 25 years for the war on terror? Does not matter. Rejoice. Because every single person who is brought back into God's family is worthy of rejoicing over. And part of the other application for this is, how are we to handle the Spirit's calling for us today? While these stories are wondrous, and it is good to acknowledge that they do happen, it is not the norm for how the Spirit works. When God chooses to work this way, it is a wondrous thing, but most of the time he works through ordinary means. And as we were praying today, as Pastor Mike was bringing up earlier today, that it is wonderful to pray for the ordinary and that the ordinary grace is going out and coming and everything. We know that for us, that means we just need to be enacting what God has already told us. And so for that, I would like for us to turn quickly to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in portion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teachings. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing of honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This is only a portion of that list, and it goes on and on to explain what it is that we should be doing and how we should be using our gifts. And if we are using our gifts in our ordinary means through what God has already done, then praise be to God for how he brings salvation to the people that are around us. And this is probably the most important point of this whole passage. And as we have gone through this, we see that the gospel now goes out to the Gentiles. And if you take 1 minute to look at me, you can quickly identify that I am a Gentile. And now that we, who were once enemies of God, get to experience the joy of repentance and salvation. And if that was the end of the story, what a wondrous God that we would serve. But it is not. And he goes further and adopts us and brings us into his own family. So now that we are joint heirs in God's kingdom. And as we look out with what's happening in our own country and not always knowing what's going to happen in this upcoming election, brothers and sisters, take heart. Because your citizenship is with Christ and his kingdom before it was with the United States. And because of that, your job does not change. Regardless of who wins, regardless of what happens, your job is to bring the gospel to all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not what we plan on, but it is what God plans on. And it is our job merely to follow and execute for the kingdom. It is a joyful thing that we get to be heirs of this kingdom, and that all we have to do is do what God has already commanded us to do and bring the good news to those who are in our lives, that they too may receive the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this, and thank you that your Holy Spirit guides us and grants us with your vision and words so that we can do all of these things in line with your plan and not ours. Thank you, Lord, and we ask for prayers for our nation as we move forward, that we would stay in line with your plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.